Welcome back to this Reporters Roundtable edition of Coastline. Our guests in the studio today are Kevin Maurer of the Star News and Scott Pickey, news director at WWAY-TV. We're talking about the stories that are making headlines and conversation. If you haven't yet weighed in, we'd like to hear what your family is talking about over dinner. What are the stories that we should be talking about that perhaps we're not? Give us a call at 343-1138 or send an email to talk@whqr.org. Danny from Ocean Isle, welcome to Coastline.
Yes, hi. How you doing, Miss Hilburn? This is Danny Hefner.
Welcome to the show. What's your question, Danny?
A question that you interviewed me back during the election season of 2012.
Yes, I remember.
One of the questions that I have, and I would like to see if there is any further movement on it, is on the voter ID bill. And on that voter ID bill, I have been doing the research on the constitutionality of the way it is currently written. And by what I'm seeing, it would go against a Supreme Court decision that was made back in 1966. Has there been any further movement and anything, information released to the reporters as to how this is going to affect the general public, if it's going to be in line with the Supreme Court decision of 1966 on poll tax, which states that there are should be no fees charged to any person to vote?
Danny, thanks for your question. Kevin, where are we? Has there been, beyond the hearing yesterday, which I understand there was testimony from a number of different groups, including one of the groups in New York, the Brennan Center for Justice, which is part of New York University, I believe, and they've been doing a nationwide study of voter fraud and voter ID laws. And I think what they testified to was the fact that there is no evidence of voter fraud in the state of North Carolina at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a really interesting question, the constitutional question that I'm going to look up a little bit, because I've never heard it put that way. So he's kind of stumped me. So he wins the award for somebody. But I think if you look at one thing on voter ID, though, it's part of a broader platform that the GOP has been using on the past elections. And I think this is just part of that. But it'll be interesting to see if it gets through and how it changes.
Okay, let's take another phone call. John, welcome to Coastline.
Oh, thank you. I was curious, I don't like to beat a subject to death, but with reference to Senator Goolsbee, he's a defense attorney. How would he be able to defend someone who was on a sex case or possibly a murder case as he's put forward these two bills? And I'll wait for your response on offline.
Thanks so much. Scott Pickey.
That's a good question. And yeah. It's one of the ones we're doing that story today. And it will probably, in its longer form, run at 6 o'clock. But that was one of the questions I wanted the reporter to ask was, you're a defense attorney, and you're presenting this with your senator hat on. How is this going to affect you? So I haven't checked into the newsroom since lunch, and I'm not sure what his answer was to that question. But it'll be interesting to see later on tonight during the 6 o'clock news how he responds to that.
That is a very good question. Jim from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you for your time. Real quick, I know you had talked about the interest that we get locally on hits on your website and if there's an interest of, like, the Pope. My question would be more along the lines of interviewing maybe people like Police Chief or Ben David and ask them what's trending. If all the stories are getting clicked on that are maybe of interest to some of the locals. However, Ben David sits back, and he might be able to shed some light on trends that are taking place along the lines of, like, gang violence that we, the average citizen, doesn't really want to know about because it's too frightening, but yet Ben David would like to get that information out to say this is a real concern. And I'll take your answer off there, but I didn't know if you guys have thought about taking people, you know, those dignitaries, and inquiring with them, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
That's a great question, Jim. Thank you. That's actually something that we're trying to do here at WHQR is bring in public officials and not necessarily always have an agenda, but just say, what are you talking about? What are you thinking about? What's happening behind the scenes? And what are we likely to see in the near future? Kevin.
Well, I mean, I think it's different mediums. And I think Scott will have a much different answer to this. For us, that's reporting. I mean, we try to stay in touch with these people on a constant basis, and that's a lot of what we get story-wise that isn't breaking comes from those kind of meetings and really keeping your finger on what it is that the officials or the, whatever organization you're covering is talking about, is dealing with, and then building the stories from there. So a lot of what he wants, what the caller wants to know, is what happens behind the scenes for us. But
right.
Jim's kind of freaking me out because there's another story we're doing today, and it relates to us going to Burgaw yesterday for a murder story. Mm-hmm. And our reporter and photographer noticed on the wall or the door of the sheriff's department that alcohol inhalation systems are a problem up in Pender County. We also know that the Marine Corps has had classes about this problem. What the problem is you can go online and for, I'm told, $30, order something that you can snuff or huff alcohol, that it turns into a vapor. And so you'll get drunk faster because it's going through your nose and straight into the system. That was a, hey, we noticed you have a flyer on your door. This is obviously a trend, like Jim said. And so today, I understand we were going to talk to an undercover cop up there about why this is a problem. It's not illegal. I mean, you can take alcohol however you want. However, it's dangerous. And that's a trend going on in Pender County. And as I understand, moving up into Onslow because of Marines are doing it.
And that's a great point. It is important to have the journalist's eyes be open to that. And I think being able to cover a beat actually helps mm-hmm. with that, too, because then you are able to not necessarily use the information that you get off the road, but it can open your eyes to
some
of the
other things.
And
that's what we try to do at the station. Is a lot of times I've been in a lot of newsrooms that rely on the morning newspaper to figure out what they're going to cover in the afternoon. And I've tried to set a standard that we have a partnership, like I mentioned, with the paper. And if they break something, I can use that and send everybody back to their website. So that's a great angle of the partnership. However, I'm not going to rely on them for our 5 and 6 o'clock news unless they break a big story. And then I can bring them on if they break a big story, and I can put a reporter on something else. We're big on what we call enterprise reporting, which is we sit in my office every morning and figure out what we're going to do for the day.
Mm-hmm. Let's take another phone call. Ruth from Wilmington, you're on Coastline.
Hey there.
Hi there. You sound like you have a little one in the background.
I've got two, and now they know I'm on the phone. So there we go. In the summertime, you passed a law for no smoking on the beach, which I think is an adequate law.
You said you think it's inadequate?
No, I think it's adequate. I think it's a good thing, I guess.
It is adequate. Okay.
Yes. I'm not sure if it was money well spent. I think that, I've just had two experiences myself where I've just realized that cab drivers are not non-smoking, and I just kind of thought that that was sort of a given around here, and I jumped in a cab twice in the last less than 6 months and was almost knocked over, and I thought that because we have laws that the bars and everything were non-smoking, that I just assumed that cab drivers and everything were non-smoking also, and I just was sort of wondering if this isn't an issue. It didn't seem to be an issue with the cab driver also. He laughed at me when I asked, maybe next time I should ask for a non-smoking cab. And he said, good luck, you'd be waiting all night long.
So, Ruth, was he smoking while you were in the cab, or did the cab just smell like smoke?
No, he butted out when I got in, but it just absolutely reeked of cigarettes. The next cab driver that I had to take, that cab was horrific with cigarettes.
You know, that's an interesting question because North Carolina does have a sort of controversial history with banning smoking in public places. Thanks so much for the phone call, Ruth. I know we were sort of lagging behind other states when it came to making it illegal to smoke in public buildings. And I know there are some municipalities around this area that have recently instituted smoking bans, fairly recently. Mm-hmm. And then the beach.
Well, yeah, Riceville Beach is the first beach to do it. But Representative Davis, I think, was going to take up the local bill to do it. But if I recall correctly, he's running into some issue with it a little bit because of the scope and will it set a precedence. And going back to the caller, banning smoking in cabs, that's the first I've heard it. I don't know if anybody's taken that on, but I think you get into the same sort of territory with, how people... can you ban it? Is it a public space or not? I don't really know, but I've not heard anybody take that on yet.
Yeah, that's the first I've heard of the smoking in the cab issue as well. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Reporters Roundtable here on Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn in the studio with WWAY TV News Director Scott Pickey and Star News Correspondent Kevin Maurer. We're talking about the issues that you're concerned about, the stories that you and your friends and your family are talking about, and the stories that people can't stop talking about. We have about less than 10 minutes left in the show, so I want to get to some of the other local issues that we've really been talking about lately. There's an alleged Ponzi schemer who came down here from Pennsylvania. And Kevin, I understand that you did some investigative reporting on this guy. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Everybody kind of remembers the storage unit just south of Monkey Junction when the New Hanover County Sheriff's and the SBI and the Wilmington Police Department found. I haven't really pinpointed exactly how many bombs in this storage container, but happened about 2 weeks after I got on the story. Fran Norton and I just decided right after I was done with Raleigh to really dig into the story. And we spent about 3 days. We sort of had the luxury. And in media markets now, you don't really have the luxury of digging into things. But we did. We took about 3 days, dug into it, and we were able to sort of dig up who this guy was, dig up his alias. And basically what he was is he's this Steve Merkenthaler, who was accused of doing a $2 million Ponzi scheme up in Philly. And he ended up just breaking bail and running to North Carolina. And he set up down here and he rented the storage unit and he was building bombs. He had bombs here and about 60 bombs, pipe bombs up in Philly. I don't know how the bombs go to the Ponzi scheme. I'm not sure if they're related at all. That's still up in the air. There's more questions in this story than actual answers that we have at the moment.
So we'll be watching as that one unfolds.
Yeah.
343-1138. We have just a few minutes left in the show. So if you haven't yet weighed in, we'd like to hear from you. We have some emails. Janet from Ivanhoe emailed us at talk@whqr.org. And she says, fracking is the most important issue on the minds of my family and friends. Scott Pickey.
I think, you know, it's like Titan, which you had a show on a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very emotional conversation. If you're on either side, there's not a lot of middle ground right now. I know that there are a ton of controversies about the water going in. Are they causing earthquakes in Arkansas? There are a lot of questions, like Kevin said about the pipe bomber. There are a lot of questions about fracking that we haven't answered. And, you know, we're messing with the earth when you're doing this stuff. And, you know, this is the first time there's a good thing that comes out of it. But what's the price to pay to get that gas out of the ground?
And that's a question that we haven't yet answered.
You know, everybody has their hot button issue or a right. nerve. And I understand why, you know, that would be the topic of conversation around her living room or dining room table, because I think because you the don't know factor.
Here's an interesting email from Beverly. She says, most Wilmingtonians are more concerned about traffic rather than Nick Sparks or human trafficking. The media used to report on it all the time, but not so much anymore. And that's true.
That's a good point.
I remember the days when we would talk about the fact that New Hanover County was one of the most dangerous places
and
in the state
one of
to
the
drive.
One of the fastest growing counties. We used to be the second fastest growing city behind Las Vegas back in the 90s. Things have slowed down because of the recession. But I think the traffic story, not to be disrespectful, the traffic story gets old after a while. And you tell the same story over and over and over again. And I tell candidates who are moving here and they ask about traffic, and I say, well, usually the traffic lasts about 20 or 30 minutes. You know exactly where it's going to be. It's going to be at College and Oleander. It's going to be at Shipyard and Carolina Beach Road. It's going to be downtown getting off the bridge if the bridge is up. And it's just something we deal with. I think what we should be discussing is the failure of our forefather politicians to keep the infrastructure up to date with the growth of the city and the county. You had to form CFPUA because the city and county didn't want to take care of the sewer and the water system. And we get emails all the time about this 80-year-old pipe that broke, and people in this neighborhood are going to be without water. Look at 3rd Street before it was renovated. It was awful.
And let's take another call. Phone caller, Jean from Wilmington, you have an interesting question that I think ties right into what Scott Pickey was just talking about.
Yes. I know that Bill Saffo came out against the sewer regulation that is putting the squeeze on developers and construction people. But we've gone for about a year without having a major sewage explosion anywhere. And so it seems to be working in our favor, but he has a whole lot of family members in both construction and real estate. How is this not him coming out against the sewer regulation? How is this not a conflict of interest? And I'll take that offline.
Thanks for your call, Jean. Kevin Maurer.
What regulation are we exactly talking about? I know that there's right now they're up in Raleigh. They're dealing with this idea of sewer capacity, and there's a Diener's got a formula that they want to change that says that at 85% capacity, you've got to build new pump stations.
County's working with the septic tanks,
right?
And they're working together on the septic. I'm not sure what the caller's regulation is exactly.
I'm not sure about that either. There is the Marquee Hills and Heritage Park.
Yeah. Gene, I know one thing. You know, the city and the county kind of got out of it by forming CFPUA, and they're in charge. And there are, you're right, a sewer spill happens now, and Kevin Wizzardo, who's been here much longer than I have, says that's nothing compared to what happened 3, 4, 5 years ago. So, but there, you're right. CFPUA is trying to get its act together, and as things have calmed down for them over the last year and a half, 2 years, and it seems like they're getting a grip on this ancient infrastructure that we have.
We had this Facebook comment from a listener who says that this is what she's thinking about, providing a feeling of safety downtown, more noticeable police presence on downtown streets on horseback, and encouraging a nightlife that isn't totally based on alcohol consumption.
Rachel, we would need another hour for that one.
That's right. That's a whole show. How to revitalize downtown and
diversify. The first problem is perception, and the second problem is vision, and the third problem is responsibility, and the fourth problem is a fracturing of the people who want to do something downtown are not on the same page. So in my perception, this is completely editorial opinionated, we're just spinning our wheels. Everybody's got their little fiefdom. Nobody wants to share any power or anything. And the perception of some people is things are safe, but yet a young man is killed 2 blocks from my house last year in the Community Arts Center parking lot. And the perception in this community, whether the facts back it up or not, is there is violence and crime downtown.
Okay. Should we stop talking about Titan? New Hanover County Commissioner Chair Woody White recently said at a meeting that this is something we need to get off of and get on to the discussion about economic growth. Kevin Maurer?
Well, I mean, I think Titan is a hot-button issue. I don't think you get any industry to agree on it. Obviously, the left doesn't agree on it. I think it's a difficult issue. You may have a point. I don't know for sure, but it's going to come up again.
Our guests today on Coastline have been Kevin Maurer, Star News reporter, and Scott Pickey, News Director of WWAY-TV. Thanks for tuning in to this special broadcast of Coastline. The show is produced by Asia Brown and Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Cleve Callison is executive producer. John Mortara is our webmaster and technical coordinator. Lindsay McGrath is our call screener. Asia Brown is today's board operator. And heartfelt thanks to all of you who called and emailed us today. We're always glad to have you join the conversation here on Coastline. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of our listeners and our guests, and not necessarily of WHQR Public Radio or our licensee, Friends of Public Radio Incorporated. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.